good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, or whenever you decide to listen to this episode of the Musical Weave Podcast. I'm your host, Rico, also known as the Musical Weave. And welcome to episode 5, y'all. We're back at it again, like we are every Saturday, to tell you what I've been listening to, what I've been watching, give you some of my input on some of the latest anime topics, the latest video game topics, and some of the latest music topics. Going forward with the music topics, I would like to expand what kind of music I talk about, because I know it's for the past 4 episodes, most music I talk about is, you know, hip-hop and rap, which I listen to that a lot on a daily basis, but I also do love other forms of music, you know, like pop punk, like Blink-182 stuff, or, you know, more like indie kind of music, like Tame Impala or like Kuko, or like stuff like that. So I'll try to incorporate some of those kind of music topics, if there are any, in future episodes going forward. But kicking off this episode, how we always kick off episodes, what's been in my rotation as far as music, anime, or video games go? Going to music, lately I've been listening to a lot more kind of I guess alternative kind of like pop stuff. Like I said, I've listened to a lot of Kuko. I actually just listened to his latest album, which I forgot it even dropped. I think I saw it dropped because it says it dropped in July. I probably saw it and I'm like, oh, I'll get around to listening to it, and I never got around to listening to it. But lately I've been, you know, just the mood to listen to, you know, like more spacious, more melodic kind of music. So I've listened to like a lot of Kuko. What else have I been listening to? That one band I mentioned in episode 1, Krumbin, here from Houston. Been listening to a lot of Beach House. Beach House is real like wavy, almost kind of new wave pop music, very like alternative indie kind of stuff. One song I would recommend listening to from Beach House is, I mean, Space Song. It's the most like famous Beach House song, and probably when you hear it, you'll recognize it because it's been in a lot of memes. It, you know, I think at one point it became like a TikTok, you know, song. You know, a lot of people put that song to a lot of their videos and shit like that. But been listening to a lot of that kind of stuff. As far as what's been my rotation as far as anime goes, I'm not gonna lie, people, I haven't really watched any anime this week. What I've been watching though, watching, like I said in last episode, of Tokyo Vice. I'm almost at the end of the first season, and I recently looked up that it's actually getting a season 2, which is great, since HBO is like canceling a lot of their stuff, and something to do with a merger or something along those lines. I'll look into that, you know, later. I might talk about that in the next podcast. But I'm watching that. I just started Narcos Mexico. I watched the first season like when it first came out, but I never got around to watching the second season or the third season, and I tried to like jump back into it And I'm like, I do not know what the fuck is going on. So I'm like, well, shit, it looks like I have to start all the way from the beginning now. So I'm starting rewatching that. What else? Seen a couple of movies. You know, I rewatched, you know, some of the Men in Black movies. I don't know why. I just kind of found myself in the mood, like, you know what movies I haven't seen in a while? Men in Black. I never saw the third one either. And the third one is, it was I mean, the first one is the best. That's, you know, that's a given. But I really like the second one. I know some people don't really like the second one because they say it's just like an endless string of callbacks to the first one. I mean, I get that, but at the same, I don't know. I enjoyed it. As far as what video games and meta rotation, I recently I'm jumping back into Destiny 2. Because I recently just finished, what game did I just finish? Well, I finished the game. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. And then, I mean, I'm still trying to make my way through Elden Ring, but like I keep netchdeek over and over and over again. Elden Ring is super, super fucking hard, and it can get really, really infuriating sometimes. And you know what? Sometimes when I get home from work, I don't feel like raging. I don't feel like getting mad at my PlayStation. Sometimes when I get home from work, I just want to play, you know, a game where I can semi-turn my brain off, or I don't have to be fucking stressing, you know, like, or fucking, like, agonizing, like, over, you know, constantly dying over and over and over and over and over again. And some of the other games I have in my, you know, my backlog, they're mostly like RPGs, and RPGs I like to kind of really like sink my teeth into, because RPGs, you really gotta put, you know, a lot of hours into it to make your way through them, because, you know, RPGs, I feel like they give you the best amount of content for your money. I mean, if you're gonna be spending like $60-$70 on the game, you know, you want, you know, get your miles at that game. And I feel like RPGs do that the best, because I mean, most RPGs, if they're good, you know, they'll at least give you like a good, you know, 40 hours out of it, some even longer. Of course, that's assuming, you know, you do, you know, some side quests, you know, some other things, you know, item hunting or collecting or what have you. But some RPGs, like, even if you just stick to like the main story, some of them are really just that long. Like Persona 5, like I mentioned some episodes back, like it's a JRPG, a Japanese RPG, and that one is 100 hours, and that's just, you know, you just play like the game, like the story is literally just that long that it'll take you like an accumulative 100 hours to beat. But like I have I gotta play, still finish Tales of Arise, which is another JRPG. It's a pretty good game. The combat gets a little repetitive though, I'm not gonna lie, but that could also be that I'm still kind of like the early stages of the game. I haven't really unlocked any of like the cool like combos, you know, like real cool finishers and stuff like that, that make the game, I guess, a little bit more interesting. But I still gotta make my way through that. And I can already tell, like, when I started the game, I'm like, ah, shit, what did I get myself into? Because, like, the story is, you know, good. It's really good, you know. Deals a lot about, you know, oppression and, you know, standing up for yourself, rising against, you know, the powers that be, you know, that stand against you type stuff. The way the story was set up in the beginning, I'm like, okay, if I have to go through what I think I'm gonna have to go through, this is gonna be a pretty, pretty lengthy game. And even from the characters, I can tell, like, yeah, these are characters I'm probably gonna get attached to, and there's probably gonna be, you know, side missions or, you know, special events tied to different characters so you get to know them better. or, you know, strengthen your bond with these characters type stuff. So I'm like, yeah, this is gonna be a pretty long game. And on top of Tales of Arise, I still gotta make my way through Kingdom Hearts. Like, I'm still in Kingdom Hearts 1, which at first I'm like, when I first started Kingdom Hearts, because Kingdom Hearts, it's notorious for being really confusing. Like, the only thing I really knew about Kingdom Hearts going into it is that, like, it's a mix of Final Fantasy and Disney characters. That's all I knew about Kingdom Hearts. And when I started it, it starts with, like, this really long, like, introduction, like tutorial level. And the whole time, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I'm seeing characters from Final Fantasy games I played. Like, I saw Tidus from Final Fantasy X. I'm like, why is he a little kid? Like, where are we? And I see Waka. I'm like, where are we? Like, where's your sister? Like, what is going on? And then it makes you pick between, oh, which would you rather have? The sword, the shield, or, like, was it the magic wand or some shit? And you have to pick one. And I thought it was like, oh, it has to do with, like, your fighting style, or, you know, what have you. It really didn't amount to shit, because you just get the keyblade and then, you know, you're just spamming the fucking square button or whatever when you're fighting. And I'm like, okay, so what was the point of that? And then apparently, like, all these different Disney movies and stuff, they're all actually, like, their own, like, condensed, like, planet / world type thing. I'm like, bro, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, what? I'm enjoying it, but I do not get it, y'all. I don't get the hype, or, you know, why Kingdom Hearts is held to, like, such a high, you know, like it's like video game royalty type shit. I'm like, I don't get it, bro. Like, and, like, I watched some YouTube videos to even try to understand it, and even every single YouTube video I've watched, like that try to break down the timeline or the whatchamacallit, the story, whatever, they're like, look, we're not gonna be able to explain it all, or hell, we might even get some of this stuff right. It is a convoluted, complex game. And the thing that really, really aggravates me about the Kingdom Hearts franchise is most games, if they have spinoffs, they're usually like their own, like, little condensed you know, stories that are set in their universe or whatever, or, you know, they might just be like extra, like, DLC content for a game, like, give you extra side stories, or, you know, like, what have you. No, Kingdom Hearts just said, nah, every single spinoff, if you want to know what the fuck is going on, you got to play every single one of the bitches. That means every, like, the ones that came out on the PlayStations, all the ones that came out on the Nintendo, Game Boy, or the fucking DS, the PS, all those. You got to play all of those if you want to know, if you want to even try to figure out what the fuck is going on in Kingdom Hearts. And I'm like, dog, like, come on, why? Even Final Fantasy isn't this complex at times, bruh. Like, what kind of convoluted MCU bullshit is this? But I'm still enjoying it, though. That's the thing. Like, I'm enjoying it, but I don't get the hype, y'all. I'm like, the music slaps, though. I'll give it that. The music does slap. That's the only thing. I'm like, okay, I get that. The music does slap. The music does slap. But everything else, I'm like, I don't get it, y'all. I don't get it. And then we got Kingdom Hearts 4 coming out. I'm like, I mean, let's see. Let's see if I can become a Kingdom Hearts fan by the time Kingdom Hearts 4 comes out. So that's what's been in my rotation, plus a little side tangent about Kingdom Hearts. Moving on to the topics of today's episode, starting with gaming news. First off, The new Assassin's Creed, it semi-leaked. No, as far as I can tell, there's really like no kind of like concrete like what the game's about or like the story, anything like that. It was just leaked that there is a new Assassin's Creed coming out, you know, sometime pretty soon, and Ubisoft confirmed that too. It's titled Assassin's Creed Mirage, and there's like a screenshot of it. It looks like it could be like either like Istanbul or like Jerusalem or like maybe like Turkey or something like that. But it's just a screenshot, you know. You can't really gather much from it. Maybe it might take place like during like the Crusades era, like the first Assassin's Creed, maybe. But again, it's only a screenshot. We can't really tell much from it. But the fact that it's confirmed that we are getting a new Assassin's Creed sometime soon is kind of cool. I am a big fan of Assassin's Creed. Like, that's like one of my dad's favorite like video game franchises, and he's the one that introduced me to it, and I got hooked ever since. But I would be a liar if I said I love all the Assassin's Creed. Nah. Like when it got to Assassin's Creed, what was the one that came like on the Xbox One? Was it not Liberation? It was the one where it was during the French Revolution. I can't think about it. But when it got to that one, I'm like, I don't know. Then I think after that one, it was Assassin's Creed Syndicate. That was like in Victoria, England. And that one, it kind of had a cool gimmick where you play between two twins, a brother and a sister. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. But I think where my investment really kind of checked out was Assassin's Creed 3. Even though, like, Assassin's Creed 3, like, Connor wasn't the best protagonist. And, like, to be honest, like, even though it was cool playing during the American Revolution, you know, exploring, you know, like New York, like Lexington and Concord, you know, all that kind of stuff, and seeing some of the famous, you know, events, how they transpired, you know, stuff that I learned like in American history type stuff, but Connor himself wasn't really that interesting. And honestly, the environments themselves, like, they weren't really that fun to explore, because when you go from like a Renaissance Italy with Ezio, you know, you explore, you know, Florence, Venice, then Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, you have all of Rome to, you know, explore and stuff like that. And then when you get to Assassin's Creed Revelations, you get all of Istanbul, and you even like get to go back to Assassin's Creed 1 playing as Altair. So going from like those like big sprawling, you know, architectural like cities and stuff, and I'm going to, you know, the American frontier, you know, the woods, and, you know, hunting deer and all that kind of stuff, it wasn't really my cup of tea. And I mean, this is a spoiler, but this game's been out so long, and if you're an Assassin's Creed fan and you haven't played Assassin's Creed 3 or even know what happens, like, I'm sorry, I have no sympathy. So, spoiler, but Assassin's Creed 3, you know, the main guy that we followed up until Assassin's Creed 3 was Desmond. You know, he was the guy that would go into the Animus machine. You know, we would relive the memories of his ancestors and stuff. So, he was meant to, you know, stop the world from, you know, from being burned alive by the sun. And he had to find like these temples or whatever to help save the world or whatever. And he does that, but he dies in the process. And the whole thing, my whole investment into it was like, okay, like, we get to go on this journey with not only Desmond's ancestors, but Desmond himself, you know, there's a thing in Assassin's Creed, they call it the bleeding effect, when someone enters the Animus and relives the memories of their ancestors and stuff like that, they actually, you know, retain some of the, like, the skills and the moves that their ancestors were able to do, and they can do it now themselves. So it was kind of cool that, you know, Desmond, while reliving the memories of his ancestors, he was also training to become an assassin himself during, you know, our modern time. And when it came to Assassin's Creed 3, they even, like, teased us with, like, one or two missions where you played as Desmond. You were actually doing, like assassin missions and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, cool. Are one of these days, like, are we going to get a game where we're playing, you know, Desmond as an assassin during modern times? Like, that would be ill. And then they're like, nah, let's just kill Desmond off. And so they killed off Desmond. And I'm like, okay, so what do I have to be invested now for? Like, what the? And then the one after Assassin's Creed 3, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, that one was fun. It was fun. But then after Black Flag, like, for a long time, I'm like, dog, I don't care. Like, I don't care about any of this. But then after Syndicate, they're like, you know what? Because up until that point, they kept churning an Assassin's Creed out every single year, just like a Call of Duty. They kept churning one out every single year. But they're like, you know what? Let's actually try and put some effort into it. You know, let's take, you know, a year or two off and actually try to craft, you know, a really, really good Assassin's Creed game again. Which they did with Assassin's Creed Origins, which that took place in ancient Egypt, showing kind of the origins of the Assassin Order and stuff like that. I never got around to finishing that one. One of these days, I might go back and try to finish it. But it was a really good game. That one actually kind of took a lot of RPG elements, you know, leveling up your character, finding, you know, new armor pieces, new weapons, varying, like, rarity and stuff like that, having to actually, like, scavenge for like resources and stuff to upgrade you know, your armor and stuff like that, having, like, actual side quests and stuff like that. So it kind of took more of an RPG route, and it was actually really, really good. And then after Origins, we got Odyssey, which takes place, you know, during, like, you know, Greek mythology times. You play as, like, a Spartan. I never got around to playing that one. And then we got Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I'm making my way through it right now. And that one, you play as, like, Vikings, and it's actually really good, and it looks good too. You know, it's like the Assassin's Creed title, you know, for the launch of the next gen consoles, and it's really, really good. So they're on the right trend as far as, you know, making good Assassin's Creed games. So hopefully they can keep it up with this new Assassin's Creed Mirage. But in other gaming news, Cyberpunk 2077 just released their new 1.6 update, which includes content from the upcoming Cyberpunk anime called Cyberpunk Edgerunners. There's new cool secret collectibles that you can find pertaining to Cyberpunk Edgerunners. And of course, various bug fixes and some, like, little extra content. You know, stuff like, if you're really, like, a nerd about, you would really love. Also, two kind of big pieces of news. The first piece being, they will no longer be supporting the last gen consoles as far as, you know, putting new content into them. Like, they'll still put out minor updates, you know, minor bug fixes and stuff like that, but as far as new content, you know, they're moving on from the last gen consoles, which I think is a smart move, because really it was that last gen console launch that really kind of, like, not only ruined Cyberpunk's reputation, but the company's reputation as well. Because, I mean, I still think, you know, they should have just waited longer to put the game out. And they said, like, in their testing or whatever, that the game didn't show like any, you know, issues or problems, I call bullshit because there's no way. Like, what version were they playing? Like, did they actually play like on a PS4 or Xbox One? Because if they did, they wouldn't have pushed it out in the state that they did. But yeah, they said they're no longer going to be supporting the last gen consoles. They're only like only the next gen or like the current gen consoles are going to get, you know, the new content and stuff like that. And speaking of content, the second piece that they announced was the new expansion coming up. What was the title? It's like Cyberpunk. From what I can tell, it has to deal with the American government in the Cyberpunk universe. Because if you're a big, you know, Cyberpunk fanboy like I am, and you bought into, you know, the whole medium that, you know, it's based off of, which is a tabletop role-playing game, even though kind of like the lore of, you know, the greater Cyberpunk world and how the American government actually is kind of a weaker version of, you know, its past self, and a lot of these states are kind of free states now. So like California is a free state, Texas is a free state, and this is like what other state that's like a free state where they kind of operate independently from the greater United States and stuff like that. Like I think even like Houston in the Cyberpunk like world or whatever, like Houston now has its own beach because due to global warming and stuff and the rising of the sea levels, like Galveston, that's gone. Texas City, that's gone. So like all that's gone now. So now Houston like has like its own like beach now, like type stuff. But give me one second, guys. I'm trying to find the Cyberpunk 27 Phantom Liberty is the title of the upcoming expansion, and they showed off a little like teaser trailer of it, and it looks really, really interesting and good. It looks like it's gonna really explore a part of the Cyberpunk 27 game that wasn't really explored, which was the Pacifica part of Night City, and we're finally gonna be able to like explore all of that. And they didn't announce like a hard date yet, but they did announce that it is coming in 2023. Hopefully they learn from their mistake, they take their time on it, and they don't try to rush it out too quick, because like if they rush it out too quick, and it's like if I download it and I try to, you know, load up a game, and like as soon as I get to like that extra content or whatever, like the game crashes type stuff, I'll be mad. But hopefully they learn from their mistakes and you know, they do right by us. In doing right by, you know, the customer and the gamers, one company doesn't seem to be following that mantra. 343 Industries, y'all, the company that is currently in charge of the Halo series, Halo Infinite came out it's already been a year already since Halo Infinite came out, like close to a year now, and it got a lot of love when it first came out because it was kind of like, you know, a return to Halo being fun again. You know, it's kind of like a return to form for Halo, and everyone was having a lot of fun, even like with the multiplayer and stuff. Everyone was having a lot of fun, it was getting a lot of love, a lot of good reviews, stuff like that. But what killed Halo Infinite was the lack of content and the lack of updates for the game. You know, like when the game modes forge, where it's like you kind of craft your own maps or like your own maps for your own game modes type stuff, which has been a staple in Halo since like Halo 3. You know, it was like Halo 3, Halo 3, or... But yeah, it was in Halo 3 ODST, because with Halo 3 ODST, if you bought the disc, you got two discs, one with the ODST campaign and the other disc with the multiplayer. But it had all the multiplayer DLC maps and stuff like that. So, and that had, you know, the Forge game mode on it, and Halo Reach, which was like the best version of the Forge. Because you got like a whole actual like Forge world and stuff like that. Man, that brings back memories, dog. All those summer days, nights, you know, playing with my friends, my online friends. Whew. Nostalgia, y'all. But it was in Halo 4, I believe, and then it was in Halo 5, but Halo 5, like, they didn't put that mode until like what, like a month or two later or something like that. And they said the same thing for Halo Infinite, but they said it'd be out like a couple months. It's already been like what, more than half a year, and they're barely putting it in, and not even putting it in, they're putting out the beta version of it. And one of the main staples of Halo is, you know, playing the campaign co-op, and not only co-op, playing it split screen, you know, inviting over, you know, your friends, your boys, playing with your cousins, whatever, you know, plugging in, you know, some controllers, you know, playing through the campaign, you know, together. They said that they would be implementing you know, split screen again, which I feel like, you know, is kind of like a dying part of video games now, because if you want to play with your friends or play with, you know, other people, you know, locally, you know, most games don't really allow for that anymore, you know, outside of, you know, like fighting games and stuff like that. Not a lot of games really like implement that anymore. Like, if you want to play games with your friends now, you kind of have to play online, you know. Like, local play for video games is kind of a dying art now, but Halo was kind of like famous for that. You know, you constantly hear stories, you know, people back in the day when Halo was at its peak, you know, going over to your boy's crib, you know, playing through the campaign together, playing on it on legendary mode, you know, trying to beat it the hardest difficulty, you know, to get like the special ending or, you know, whatever. And for Halo Infinite, they said they were going to put it in, and then when they announced you know, they're putting out the beta version of the Forge, they said, oh yeah, split screen, yeah, we gave up on that. Literally, they just like, yeah, it doesn't work, you know, so yeah, sorry, it's not coming. When a guy on Twitter literally showed off how you can exploit the Xbox Series X and like the cloud play and stuff like that to pretty much like exploit it to make your own split screen whatchamacallit. And he even said like it works perfectly fine. So if a player can figure out how to exploit it and it still runs, you know, fine without no problems, the fact that they're like, yeah, it doesn't work, so we're not gonna put it in, that's just them being lazy. And I mean, I'm no game developer by any means, but something like that, I don't think it's that hard, because like you gotta think about it, with all the advances in technology, you know, game design, you know, game designing software and stuff like that, something like implementing split screen should be, you know, like a bottom tier, you know, challenge as far as game development goes. If games like from like Halo 2 came out like what, 05 06, something like that, and that had split screen, and you remember like 05 06, you know, like technology at the time, like it was cool, you know, when your phone could like flip up, you know, that was like, oh, this is peak technology right here. And they were able to put split screen on that, and now we have, you know, virtual reality, fucking you know, like the whole phone is like just one giant screen now. Like my iMac that I'm currently, you know, using to record this podcast, It is thinner than my Apple Watch. Like, this technology that we're working with now, and the fact they said, oh, it doesn't work, that's not a good enough excuse, bro. Because there are plenty of examples I can point to that they are able to do this now. So that thing that people were able to do back then shouldn't be a problem for you to do now. So it's sad to see Halo Infinite go out like this, because again, like, Halo Infinite, it was getting a lot of love. It was a good return to form for Halo, and the fact that, you know, 343 is just, you know, really dropping the ball on it, it's real sad to see. So hopefully, you know, they can get it together, or at this point, like, just pack it up and get and start prepping for Halo Infinite 2 or Halo 7, you know, whatever they're gonna title it. You know, it's just sad to see, because Halo is like one of my favorite franchises. I was low key thinking about, you know, getting an Xbox Series X just to get Halo. Now I'm kind of rethinking my position. But I might have to rethink my position, because Phil Spencer, the CEO of Xbox, said, yeah, Call of Duty is only gonna be on like every console for like the next 3 years. Then after that, it's gonna be exclusively on Xbox. So this new Modern Warfare 2 coming out, it's gonna be on every platform. Then the next one after that one, I think that one's gonna be by Treyarch, like next Black Ops, something like that. But that one's gonna have like a year gap. You know, they're actually taking a year off to work on that Call of Duty even more, which I think is smart, you know. Because again, they keep churning out a new Call of Duty every year, and it was getting stale. The product was kind of like kept lowering in volume, or not volume, but lowering in quality. It's like, you know what? We need to do something. How about we take a year off to like really put, you know, a lot more development time into really polishing and making this game as good as we can, which is a smart move. So after Modern Warfare 2 and that still untitled yet Call of Duty by Treyarch, after that, all Call of Duties from now on are going to be exclusively on the Xbox, and most Activision games are going to be exclusively on Xbox, which is smart, because like one of the main, you know, gripes of the Xbox is it doesn't have enough exclusives. You know, like a PlayStation, you know, they have a lot of like really good exclusive games. You know, got all the Naughty Dog stuff, you know, like Last of Us, Uncharted, whatchamacallit, then you have, you know, Spider-Man, then you had yeah, like Bloodborne. You know, they have like a lot of exclusives, God of War, and Xbox, like, they didn't really have any exclusives outside like Halo, Gears of War, but it's like those two franchises, you know, they kept kind of like dipping down in popularity and quality, so they need to do something, because they're kind of becoming like the laughing stock of the gaming industry. Like well, at least like PlayStation always say, well, at least we have better exclusives than you. Because I mean, at the end of the day, both these consoles, you know, they perform about the same, you know, they perform about the same in terms of, you know, graphics, you know, FPS, you know, like 60 frames, like all that kind of stuff. They perform like about the same. So it really came down to like, what games do these, you know, consoles have that I can't get on the other consoles? And more often than not, PlayStation came out on top. But now, since Xbox, you know, is buying, you know, major studios left and right, you know, they bought Bethesda, so now like all Bethesda games are going to be exclusive to Xbox now. Bethesda made, you know, Fallout, Skyrim, Doom, Dishonored, like all these like really good titles, and all those great studios that are under the Bethesda umbrella are all exclusively going to be Xbox now, which is crazy. Then with Activision, you know, they're getting Call of Duty, they're getting World of Warcraft, they're getting a lot, you know. So I hope, maybe I might just have to, you know, get an Xbox Series X, because I mean, I do, when Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, I do need to be able to play it, because Skyrim is one of the games I put the most hours into, you know. I mean, it's over like a decade old, but ever since 360, I got it on the Xbox One. When I got on the Xbox One, I switched over to PlayStation. I got on the PlayStation 4, and I got it on the PS5 right now. And I still go through the whole thing. So that's like definitely like well over like an accumulative like 1,000 hours, you know, over like a decade I've put into that game. And then Fallout 4, I put into a lot of hours of Fallout 4, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas. You know, so I love my Bethesda games. So when it comes time around for the new Elder Scrolls or new Fallout, I'm probably gonna have to cave in and get an Xbox. But so start looking ahead, people. Start looking ahead. You know, Xbox might just won't have the game that you like hostage, that you might have to get an Xbox for. But moving on to music topics, The Weeknd is one of my favorite artists of all time. You know, I listen to him religiously. I have most of his albums on vinyl. I'm only missing what, two more now, which I need Kiss Land and then My Dear Melancholy before I have his whole discography on vinyl. And I have a lot of merch by The Weeknd. I even bought like this uber like collector's edition vinyl of one of his, you know, one of his first three projects, Echoes of Silence. I've been a fan of him ever since, what, like 2013, something like that, around time Kiss Land came out. So almost well over a decade, you know, he's one of my favorite artists like all time. And he did something that kind of pissed me off. You know, I was gonna go see him on the After Hours tour back in 2020, but as we all know how 2020 went, and the following years after 2020 went, he kept, you know, pushing back the concert, you know, and kept, you know, saying, oh, we're gonna return next year. Next year came around, like, okay, we gotta push it back more. And he pushed back so much that he was like, you know what, I'm sorry y'all, but I have to cancel this tour because, you know, I'm putting out this new album, you know, pretty soon, and I want it to be a even bigger and better experience, you know, to celebrate, you know, these two albums together. And I can't play at these arenas anymore if I want to give you the experience that I want to give you, that I envision. So he moved into stadiums, and he was originally going to come to Houston on the After Hours tour. He was going to play at the Toyota Center, but on this After Hours Until Dawn tour, he wasn't coming to Houston anymore. He's just going to Dallas, to Arlington, or Arlington, Dallas. This is the same shit. Fuck Dallas. I'm sorry, but fuck Dallas. They took The Weeknd. But because they're gonna play at that stadium over there or whatever. He recently just played a show in LA where his voice went out mid performance, and there's actual video, like someone caught it, like videoed it, of when he actually kind of lost his voice. And you can kind of tell, like, his voice like kind of like cracked, and then after it like really cracked, when he kept trying to sing, it was like all low and kind of broken. And then, you know, he left the stage. Everyone's like confused, like, what's going on? And he came out. He was like, I'm really sorry, guys. My voice, it gave out. I can't give you the performance that, you know, that y'all deserve, you know. And you could see in his face, you know, how sad, you know, he was, you know, how distraught he was. Because, you know, he really does care about his fans, you know. He really did want to put on a really great performance for them. And, you know, shit. He probably knows how much, you know, people spend on those tickets, you know. He wants to give them the best performance that he can. But, you know, he can't perform. But he told him, you know, I'll make sure everyone, you know, gets a refund for their ticket money. And I'm going to come back and do a show here in LA, you know, real soon. He's like, you know, I'm sorry. And like, you can kind of see in his eyes that he kind of wanted to cry. And the fact that he came out himself and said that on stage instead of, you know, having, you know, like one of the venue workers come out or whatever and, you know, tweet out his apologies, you know, afterwards on Twitter or something like that. You know, he came out himself, owned up to it. He was like, I'm sorry, you know. But I mean, at the end of the day, which would you rather have, you know, get your money back and save yourself a terrible performance or sit through a whole, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours maybe of the weekend performing. He's not giving you what you paid to see. So it was the right and smart thing to do on the weekend's part. He did say that he has been given the green light, you know, he's doing a lot better now, he can perform again. But you know, he needs to, you know, be careful, you know, take care of, you know, his health, because, you know, life on the road, you know, it ain't easy, you know. It's not easy, and it's not easy, you know, to be kind of health conscious on the road, because you're constantly moving from city to city. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, eat healthy or, you know, really like take care of yourself, because it's really like fast paced. You know, like, okay, as soon as you get off stage, we gotta, you know, get to the airport, hop on the plane, and, you know, get to the bus, because we gotta get to the next stop or city or whatever. So I hope and I pray that the Weeknd's taking care of himself, because I'm not gonna lie, I need to see him live. He is on my bucket list of artists to see live, and plus he's just a great, you know, human being. You know, I hope nothing for the best for him. Someone who's not that great of a human being, rapper Mystical. He's a rapper out of New Orleans. This man is 51 years old. He has been under No Limit. He was under Cash Money. And he is, drum roll please, facing life in prison. The following charges are first degree rape, property damage, false imprisonment, domestic abuse, possession of Xanax, marijuana, various other forms of drug paraphernalia, and methamphetamines. So the big charge here is the rape charge. The other ones are, I mean, they're terrible, don't get me wrong. But the other charges, they're kind of seem as like simple criminal degrees. It's the rape charge that's really kind of the biggest one. Apparently this like dates back to the rape charge. It dates back to, excuse me, folks. I want to make sure that, you know, I get the facts straight, you know. It dates back to, accused attacking of a female that dates back in July. Apparently, the woman's accusing him of taking her car keys and sexually assaulting her. Apparently, it was on the night of July 30th. He's facing life in prison, and this is not this is not new territory for me either. He already became like a lifetime registered sex offender in 2003 following another conviction for sexual assault. He is currently in custody without the possibility of bail, so he can't put any money in his book, so he can get out. He is currently in prison until whenever they decide to take it to trial to see what happens. He gets his full sentencing. I do not condone any kind of fuckery like that. I do not condone any forms of sexual assault, abuse of any kind, emotional or physical. I do not condone rape of any sort. I feel like if you take advantage of someone, you deserve to be buried underneath the prison. That is how I feel, and you will get no sympathy from me. My sympathy runs so low. If you get killed in the middle of the street, I'll probably be like, someone got what they deserve. That's how I feel about it. Under no circumstances is that kind of buffoonery okay. And if you partake in that, you are a terrible human being, and you deserve to be buried underneath the prison. And this man is 51 years old, dog. Come on, bro. Look, the crazy thing, he has a daughter, bro. As a man, if you have a daughter, how can you act like this towards women, bro? Someone said to me earlier this week, the energy you put out into the universe, it has a way of coming back to you. And it's like, if that's the energy and the way you're moving out here, karma is a fickle bitch. She will come back to bite you in the ass. And the sad thing is, it might not even happen to you. It might happen to someone close to you, someone that you care about. You might not care about yourself, but if you care about someone else, and you do some fuck shit like this, karma has a funny way of coming back to biting them in the ass for your fuck ups. Yeah. It's disgusting, really. When it comes to things like that, even if I like you as an artist, I can't really condone that. I can't condone it, and maybe even after I might be able to listen to your music afterwards. R. Kelly, I don't even listen to R. Kelly like that anymore. After everything that kind of came out about R. Kelly, I don't know, bro. Whenever I hear his music now, I don't know, it just leaves me a funny taste in my mouth. There's one or two songs that I like, and he has classics, don't get me wrong. And I don't know, that might be a topic for another episode. I want to know from my listeners, do you believe in separating the art from the artist? And if so, to what degree? Or if you don't, to what degree? you know, that might be, you know, a special topic I might want to, you know, really dive into one of these days. But I mean, if he is found guilty for these crimes, he's getting life in prison, good. Because that kind of buffoonery, that ain't cool. Speaking of buffoonery, Sauce Walker, he's a rapper out of Houston. He recently just went to LA, and apparently someone tried to rob him for, you know, his various, you know, diamond chains and, you know, jewelry that he's wearing. Someone tried to rob him, and I mean, he pretty much said that, you know, he killed a guy, you know, he quote unquote said, you know, put him on a t-shirt, which that's code for, you know, if you put someone on a t-shirt, you know, you'll see people out here that have a t-shirt like rest in peace, you know, so and so, and they'll have like a picture of them, like a family picture, something like that. And he said, you know, he had to put someone on a t-shirt because, you know, they tried him, they tried, you know, take his stuff that he worked hard for. And there's two sides to it that I feel about. One is, I get it, because I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you gotta defend yourself, you know. You know, gotta defend yourself, you know, for your safety, whatever. But two, like, why say that on the internet? Especially everything going on with, you know, like Young Thug going to prison and Gunna going to prison, and they're trying to use, you know, the various rap lyrics to indict them and stuff like that. Like, why would you go on the internet and pretty much just dry snitch on yourself? It's like I don't get it, bro. Like, that should be something that you do not want to put out there. Like, any lawyer will tell you, like, do not say anything that can incriminate you. Like, they will use anything and everything to put you away. But going back to, you know, a quote by the great MF Doom, rat snitches telling all their business, they be in the courtroom and be the young star witness. I mean, it is what it is, you know. It's not a new occurrence, but just because it ain't a new occurrence doesn't make it any less stupid. You know, you would think you would learn from mistakes past, but, you know, I guess we're not good enough yet. Moving on from all that buffoonery, going on to anime topics. Keep this short and brief. You know, nothing much new has changed yet from last episode, but Hunter x Hunter, the manga, Togashi has confirmed that the chapters for Hunter x Hunter are ready, so we should be expecting them pretty soon. How soon, we don't know, but it's good to hear that you know, we are getting chapters soon. Plus, with last week's news that he hired assistants to help him with creating the manga now, you know, so hopefully we should be getting these chapters on a somewhat daily basis, or weekly basis, or even, I'll even say like a monthly basis at this point. But as long as we get some kind of consistency coming from Hunter x Hunter, I'll be a happy camper. Next, Jump Festa 2023 will be revealing new information in the next week, in next week's Shonen Jump issue. For the uninitiated, Jump Festa is pretty much like Japan's kind of like Comic-Con. That's the event where they announce a lot of like the new animes that are getting adapted, new trailers or new news on animes, what Jump has in store for their franchises, you know, new manga coming out, stuff like that. You know, it's usually held like around like November time, like November, December kind of time. But they will be revealing new information about the event in next week's Shonen Jump issue. So next week I should have some, you know, some more Jump Festa news for y'all. In some kind of sad news, Studio Wit is in a lot of financial troubles. Studio Wit, they have adapted, famously, they adapted the first three seasons of Attack on Titan. They're also co-producing Spy Family right now with CloverWorks. They made some pretty like great anime, and not only that, the animation quality for animes that they have done, it is second to none. So it's kind of sad to see that such a studio of this quality is having financial troubles, because it just recently came out that this anime called The Ancient Magnus's Bride is getting a season 2, which I started watching that anime. I'm like on the first episode or two. It's interesting, but it's on the back burner of animes I really gotta watch. But apparently the first season was adapted by Studio Wit, but due to financial constraints or whatever, they had to give it up. So when it came out that it was getting a season 2, and it said production by, and I forget the name of who's doing it, but it's not Studio Wit, it's kind of just reinforcing that Studio Wit's kind of they're kind of in a bind right now. Like, there was a story a couple of months ago that Studio Wit was like so many like millions like in the hole, and it's really sad to see. I hope that they can like find investors, get like a new IP or something to really like push them over, the edge as far as making them a lot more revenue. Because it would be sad to see the day that Studio Wit goes out of business, knowing the work that they've done and the work they're capable of. So I wish nothing but for the best for Studio Wit. Hopefully they can pull out of this funk that they're in. But that about wraps it up for episode 5 of the Musical Wee Podcast. I appreciate y'all listening to me ramble on about certain topics and hearing my input on certain news tidbits. But hopefully you enjoyed this episode, and I hope to see you on the next one. Peace.